Good morning. I'm tempted to say good afternoon, but I won't today. Thanks for coming today. And trivia question. We're going to have chapter 11 today. And guess what today is? August 11th. So 11-11. I'm going to have the prayer today. In 2 weeks, next week, Cy will have the prayer. In 2 weeks from today, Neil. So hope that's okay. We'll let the clock in the foyer be the authority, even though I'm a little slower than that. But let's have a prayer. Father, we're always thankful for our many blessings that we just take for granted. Be with those in our country that are suffering because of fires or floods or hurricanes, whatever it might be. Again, Father, we're still mindful of our VBS this year, and we pray that much good will continue from it in the near and distant future. We also are mindful of our work in Belize and the report this afternoon about India. We pray wherever your people are that they might be richly blessed today. Again, thank you for the privilege of prayer. And this is our prayer in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. I like the outline for the 11th chapter in our New King James. Paul's concern for their faithfulness. Was he really concerned about the faithfulness of the brethren in Corinth? Then Paul and the false apostles. That's going to be part of our lesson for today. So faithfulness, verses 1 through 4. And then false apostles, verses 5 through 15. And then I like the outline, reluctant boasting. Was Paul reluctant to boast? Or I think I've shared the word with you. I like the word brag a little better, but what about reluctant bragging? When does the Lord approve of us bragging? And when does he not approve of our bragging? So, and then I'm sure the last part of the chapter, suffering for Christ. Not going to ask for a show of hands. Have any of us ever suffered like Paul did? I don't think we'd raise our hand. So that'll be verses 22 through the close of the chapter, verse 33. Let me read the chapter, rather long, and I'll try not to ad lib. This is the New King James. Now, first of all, verses 1 through 4, Paul is concerned about what's happening in Corinth, isn't he? Are they faithful to Jesus or not? Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. Now, if we're not careful, we think jealousy is always negative, isn't it? What could it be positive? Doesn't the book even affirm sometimes God is jealous? So in what sense are we to be jealous? What sense are we not? So, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. For I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Now, eminent apostles, would that be the apostles that Jesus selected, or would that be the opponents of Paul? And he's going to say they were false. So you might want to think about that. In the past, my answer would have been, it would have been Peter, James, and John. But in light of the context, how are we to understand that verse? So give some thought to it. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. I find most would say Paul was not trained like the Greek orators. But if we have time, I'll share with you. He could speak. And he could really move an audience. So think about that. He wasn't like a Greek orator. Now, Corinth, remember, a lot of them were of a Greek background. They liked oratory. So, for I consider that I am not at all inferior to the most eminent apostles. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge. Now, remember his background. He was a Jew. He had the best of the Greek world. He had the best of the Hebrew world. And then on top of that, he was guided by the Holy Spirit, wasn't he? But we have been thoroughly manifested among you in all things. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted? Because I preach the gospel to you free of charge. Not going to ask for a show of hands. But I'll just throw it. Would they like for Brian and I to speak free of charge? But can you picture? Paul didn't take a dime from Corinth. Penny. I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you and in need, I was a burden to no one for what I lacked. The brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in everything, I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. I didn't take any money from you in Corinth, and I'm not going to do it anywhere else in Greece. By now, Macedonia came to my aid. Now remember Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, and I'm sure other churches. They were all in Macedonia. Now, verse 11. I'll read verse 10 again. As the truth of Christ is in me, No one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. Now, I found it interesting. Many translations had, God knows I do. So, I think it's apparent if you have the King James or American Standard or New King James that Paul really loved them in Corinth, didn't he? So, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things of which they boast. So, for such are what kind of apostles? False apostles. Deceitful workers. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into what? Angel of light. We generally think serpent, don't we? Roaring lion. What about the affirmation here? An angel of light. And I like the New International Version. They masqueraded. So think about that translation. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of what? Righteousness. Now, I remember when we laughed about it. You know, there's the Church of Satan in our country. I wonder, though, could there be some churches of Satan closer? Satan's masqueraded as an angel of light. The ministers are masqueraded as servants of righteousness. So that's rather interesting to think about, isn't it? I say again, verse 16, let no one think me a fool. If otherwise, at least receive me as a fool. Don't think about it, but receive me, that I also may boast a little. Let me boast then, if that's so important to you. Let me brag, if that's so important. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. When did the Lord say, okay? And when does the Lord say, I don't like it? As we boast or brag. So, for if you put up with fools gladly, for you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. Some of you think I'm a fool. But you would also convey the idea how wise and eminent and super you are. For if you put up with it, if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face, to our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. We didn't do any of this that some do. So, that'd be my key word, I think, for next week, weakness. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. I can really be bold. Now, We come to verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ or servants of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. We're put on the basis of boasting or bragging. Now here's what I can list. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequently. In deaths often. And verse 24 still hurts me. From the Jews, 5 times. To me, 1 would have been enough. 5 times. I received 40 stripes minus 1. You might want to do some research. It wasn't a pleasant experience. How they had developed it by the time of Christ. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I would say, ouch! 1 time I was stoned. I think I've shared with you, how long would it take for them to stone you to death? Think what every stone could do. I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Now, I view verse 26, in journeys often. Think of all the perils and dangers I had in these journeys. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea. And one I've really been thinking about caught my attention. In perils among what kind of brethren? False brethren. Now, false apostles, false ministers, false brethren. Now, one of my questions, we need to think about in this chapter, was Paul a true apostle? Was Paul a true minister or servant? Was Paul a true brother? At all times, wherever he was. So, difference between true and false. So, now I'm sure all of us would say, hey, we want to be true, don't we? Rather than false. I think the fan had turned a page, but that wouldn't have helped. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. And then in journeys, often all these perils and dangers. Verse 27, in weariness and toil. I'm sure we've been so tired. Oh, that bed really... it's alluring, isn't it? Think of Paul in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That'd be pretty extensive, wouldn't it? But there's verse 28. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, with that included Corinth. Wonder how things are going in Corinth. Are they true or false? Are they faithful or unfaithful? Who is weak? And I am not weak. Now, can you picture Paul as weak? Who who is made to stumble. And I do not burn with indignation. If I must boast, I will boast in my things which concern my infirmity. Now, I like verse 31. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not what? God knows all of this is true. Christ knows all of this is true. The Spirit knows all of this is true. What about you? So, it's very interesting then, verses 32 and 33. He goes back to the beginning, doesn't it? In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a what through the window? Think about it. When did Paul go down in a basket? And when did he stand up and say, hey, wait a minute. I'm a Roman citizen. I have some rights. So when he let the brethren let him down in a basket, and when he'd stand up and say, hey, I'm not only a Jew, I'm a Roman citizen. And I've often wondered about that. I'm sure he could have proved it. But that would get their attention, would it? You say, I'm a Roman citizen. You don't treat Roman citizens this way. So when, okay, let me down in a basket to get out of their way, and when I'll stand up. So when? And I say, well, what does that mean for us? When do we need to relinquish our American rights? And when do we need to stand up and say, hey, I'm an American citizen. I have rights, don't I? So what was the difference? Paul, sometimes he wouldn't, sometimes he did. So, okay. That was a long chapter, wasn't it? Chapters 12 and 13, the rest of the month, will be a little shorter. So next week, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that thorn. Do we have a thorn? What is it? Who had the thorn? What was it? Can we determine? Chapter 12. Why was it given? So, and then I'm going to find it interesting in chapter 13. Basically, Paul's going to come back to the thought, hey, I want to visit you again in Corinth. And then he closed the letter. So, again, let me recommend you read chapters 10 through 13 together. Try to forget about the chapter and verses. Now, I will say they're very convenient. Remember, men added that. Paul didn't write in chapter and verse form. He wrote in a letter form. So it's helped me immensely put 10 to 13 together, read it together one time as a letter. And some would say that was rather bold, harsh, painful, whatever word you want to use. But now remember, our three major sections, chapters 1 through 7. The majority in Corinth, they like Paul. Chapters 8 and 9, if Paul's taking up a contribution among the Gentiles for the Jewish brethren, and Corinth had said, hey, count us in a year ago. Would you be too surprised that somewhere in his letters he would talk about giving, which he did, chapters 8 and 9. And then I find it hard to believe, but there can be true. Some in Corinth didn't like Paul, did they? So is he going to deal with that? They say, oh, he's not an apostle. Don't pay any attention to what he says or writes. So how did Paul deal with that? Verses chapters 10 through 13. Give you something also to think about. If someone asks you, how many preachers do you have? Or how many members do you have? They're asking, how many do you have that stand in the pulpit? Well, generally we'd say one, or there might be several in staff. If you really want to get their attention, you might say, well, we have so many ministers, so many servants, so many members. And then you could talk about it. So think about that. We just generally say one, though, don't we? But really, if all of us are ministers, servants, then wouldn't that include all the members? So think about that. Now, the questions I came to mind, was Paul a true apostle? Was he a true minister? Was he a true brother? So, what did Paul think of the church in Corinth? And then, I know we like to go to the book of Acts and try to come up with when this happened to Paul. Guess what? You won't find all of them in Acts. So, but we've already note the affirmation of verse 31. Heaven knows what I have just shared with you is right, true, genuine. Can you say the same? So, okay, I'll give you, and then that'll be the authority. We closed last week in chapter 10. For not he who commends himself is approved. What should we really be concerned about? The Lord's approval. So, but whom the Lord commends. So that's what I'm going to try to remember about God. He's the one. I want his approval. I want his commendation. What he thinks and says is the most important. And then I would use the thought, what do I need to watch? Well, one thing in chapter 10 would be, I need to watch my letters, don't I? I need to watch my notes, what I say about another brother or sister or church. And I think Brian can relate to it. I need to watch what I put in the bulletin, don't I? I mean, there's an area where I need to watch my letters, what I put in writing. So think about that. Then I'll have to admit, of the 13 chapters, this one really got my attention. and I was hired for, what is God, and I came up with, God, what does God want? God wants. God desires. What did he want for Paul? What did he desire for Paul? What did he want or desire in Corinth? So, what does he want in my life? In yours? And then I was really, what do I need to be concerned about? I finally came up, watch my reactions. Paul needed to watch his reactions to the false apostles, false ministers, false brethren, didn't he? And I think I shared with Duane, guess what happened this morning? Never happened before. The electricity went off. And I'll just say, for those like me that are a creature of habit, what was my reaction to the electricity going off? We just take it for granted. You know, you flip the switch. And it's, what if 1 minute it's on, the next minute it's off? That includes the air conditioning, doesn't it? So that's what I finally came up. I need to watch my reactions. Oh, that includes my emotions and other things. But I need to really be concerned about how I react. Paul, how he reacted to those that were false. And how we are to react. Give you a preview of what's coming, then I'll shut up and let you talk if you'd like to. Next week, God humbles. He can really humble us, can he? And then the last chapter, will there be some of Paul's plans? I'm going to visit you. Again. Now, when we get to the chapter, this will be my third visit. Now, how do you want me to come? Bold or weak? Demonstrating my love or the opposite? What do you want? And then he closes the letter. Rather short close, isn't it? We're going to note so. I don't think I'll have time. If I do, I'll take it. In verse 11, we'll look more at verse 6. Even though I am untrained in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly manifest among you in all things. My thesis will be that he maybe wasn't trained like a Greek orator, and I wouldn't want to be either. But he could really speak. And he could really tell you, hey, this is what God wants. This is what God desires. Now, do you want and desire the same thing? So, if I have time, I have that in my notes. But, well, I'll give you the... Think about the invitation to Mars Hill, next 17. Oh, you say, oh, well, there were some spent their time in Athens. They listened to new ideas. Do you suppose they were willing to listen to Paul? Now, remember, the Roman soldiers had to rescue Paul. And then his thought was to the commander, well, let me speak to him. He could speak to them in Hebrew, couldn't he? And they listened to it. He used finally one word and then that ended. And the Roman soldiers had to rescue him. Remember, they want to kill him. But he calmed them down. Do you remember what the word was that set them off again? Gentiles. But think of it. He calmed the mob for a while in Acts 22. And then there's Paul before King Agrippa and the Roman governor Festus. Remember what Agrippa said? I take it at face value. Almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Some would translate it, if there's enough time, you're going to persuade me to be a Christian. Well, he was a great speaker, wasn't he? And remember they got together and talked about it and said, well, he could have been released, but he appealed to Caesar. So Festus was wanting to know, what am I to write to Caesar? Can you help me? So, and then, and I'll close on this point. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14. This will be the first missionary journey. And so in Acts 14, 23, I have to turn another page. Okay, look at verse 13. Then the priests of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to what with the multitude? Sacrifice. Now let's go back to verse 12. And Barnabas they called Zeus or Jupiter, and Paul Hermes or Mercury, because Paul was what? Chief speaker. So think about it. I know what Paul wrote and why he wrote it. But remember, I ask we need to be very cautious what some say, what they say. And is it really true? Okay. I heard that was number one. Okay, I'm going to shut up. Anyone have either side, men or women, comment, question, other verses, something about God, something about how we need to relate to God. So, either side. I'm looking to my right. Anyone? Then look at my left. Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to be very cool with that. But what really, I'm like you, Brother Paul. I'm like you, Brother Harry. This was a very intriguing chapter. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that really jumps out at me, or that caught my attention, was verse number 3. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from the sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That can happen to us today. If we don't know what God said for ourselves. So that is one scripture that truly motivate me to get to know God for myself by repeatedly reading through God's word. And I'm not bragging, I'm not boasting, but by the grace of God, every year to get to know God so I don't be deceived. I was listening to a song this morning, Holy, Holy, Holy. And one of the comments that was made in the comment block, and it really hurt me. I used to be a Church of Christ member, but I'm no longer. And the thought that came into my mind, whoever this person was, has been deceived. So, saints, we must get to know God for ourselves.
And I think that that is the one reason why so many of God's people are being led astray. The music coming, the instruments coming into the worship, women preachers, women standing at the Lord's table, which I've seen personally as I was traveling. I would always look for God's people. And when I walked in there and I saw them not abiding by the doctrine that Jesus stated in his word. So we must always know the truth for ourselves so we don't be deceived as Eve was deceived. That's my motivation for reading God's word for myself. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Good to have all of you. According to the clock in the foyer, I'm going to stop a minute early. Versus most time I go a minute over at least, don't I? So anyway, good to have you today. And I read chapters 10 through 13 several times this past week. It really helped me. I think it would help you. So I'm looking forward next week, chapter 12, and Cy will have the prayer, and then 2 weeks from today, the last chapter, number 13, and Neil will have the prayer. So good to have all of you, and we'll stand. Okay, I heard that was the second one, so...